So yeah, regular dental care. And as I said, for some adults, they have those repeated long bone fractures. So treating those and making sure they're getting the care they need is part of it. One thing that I will say, they do know that you should avoid taking what they call phosphonates. And it's a class of drugs that's used to treat bone disorders like osteoporosis. But with hypophosphatasia, those bisphosphonates, actually, they describe it like putting gasoline on a fire. It just makes it worse. So while you might think, oh, this is kind of like an osteoporosis, we'll give them this. Ooh, no, that's not good. So that's where we kind of, and other medical professionals, we might not know everything, but we know some things. And the more information we can get out there, hopefully, the more we can help. And hopefully be on board when these new and exciting treatments do come so that we can share that information. And we've already created a network so that that information gets out much quicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how is the story of HPP in Canada, the Canadian story?
Very much a Canadian story, and we're very proud of it, actually. The first report of hypophosphatasia in the English language medical literature was actually attributed to Dr. Bruce Chown, and he was at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, and that was back in 1936. And he described two sisters that had what he called renal rickets. And then we also had Dr. Rathbun, who is a Canadian physician, and he first named the disorder hypophosphatasia in 1948. And because he treated a boy with a low level of Alk Phos. And the boy was first treated in 1946. And so for a very long time, this disease was known not as hypophosphatasia, but as Rathbun syndrome after the doctor. Fast forward 1995, I mentioned her earlier, Marjorie Callan of Toronto was diagnosed in 92. And after 5 years of fractures and surgeries and whatnot, she connected to the internet to look for support. And so she made the first contact between two patients that we know of. And there was two in the U.S. that she connected with, and they started talking. And then in 1998, Marjorie and Deb Tyfer, who I mentioned is the president of our group now, they connected and they began discussing the need for a support group in Canada for patients and their families. And they formed the first Canadian organization that was called the Canadian Hypophosphatasia Contact, so CHC. And that was the group that I was able to connect with when I finally found them and saw them online. And they created like a trifold brochure also that they could mail out to families to give them some general information. In 99, they created the first international support group through Yahoo Group, and they called it Worldwide Hypophosphatasia Support Mailing List. And then in 2006, Professor Philip Crean, who was of the company was called Inobia, and it was in Montreal, he developed the first therapy. And so he is the one who developed the Asfotase Alpha, the drug, and he's Canadian. So we're very proud of him. And I had the pleasure of meeting him. He's a lovely man. And one of the things that he commented was that it's very rare for a doctor to choose a disease to try and find a cure for or a treatment for, not so much a cure, but a treatment, right, even. And he said this has happened quite quickly. Things just kept going right. And so it's rare in your lifetime as a scientist, as a researcher, to see your research come to fruition and help people. And he's been able to actually meet the kids and families that he's helped. So he said it was very emotional for him because he's seen the same people that I've seen who, because of his drug, not just live, but they live good, healthy lives and they flourish. So that's amazing. So, and again, he's Canadian. So we're very proud of our Canadian history. And Dr. Cheryl Rockman Greenberg, a distinguished professor at the University of Manitoba and a clinician scientist in the Children's Hospital Research Institute of Manitoba, she has devoted her career to bringing advanced medical knowledge and care to isolated and often very vulnerable Indigenous populations. And she's worked closely with communities to develop diagnostic tests, screening programs, and treatments for disorders that were once poorly understood and improve the lives of generations of children. And as an academic clinician, Dr. Greenberg's research focused on applying molecular genetics and the identification of the molecular basis of genetic disorders that were overrepresented in populations. Specifically, she did research with the Mennonite populations and specifically with old colony Mennonites. So her that was within the 2000s, like within 1900s and 2000s. So she now has been inducted into the Canadian Medical Hall of Fame just last week. So she is quite a force. And again, there's that connection again with the Mennonite populations. And she's really reached out and tried to make sure that everyone who needs it has access. So she's definitely an advocate and she's Canadian. Mm-hmm. And we are so proud to have her as part of our Canadian story.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. So you are one of the board of directors of Soft Bones Canada, which is a patient advocacy group. What does that mean? Or what do you do?
Yeah, so Soft Bones Canada, I mentioned that I'm on the board of directors, which basically means we do everything. Suddenly we are, you know, I've got skills I didn't know. Suddenly I'm helping like design a website. I'd never done that before. And we're calling mm-hmm. people and I'm out on the radio, which again, never done that before. So it kind of means you do everything. But what Soft Bones is itself is, as I mentioned, a patient advocacy group. Our whole goal is to help patients and families get information and connect them. So one of our goals is to empower, to educate, and to connect patients and families. Mm-hmm. So not only give them information, but help them to connect to one another. Because again, as a rare disease, that's one of the biggest issues is that you don't have a support. You know, if you're the only one that you think has this disease in your province or in your community, it's isolating because they don't really understand what you're going through. And so to have that person reach out, even like I said, when I reached out to Debbie and she was able to say, absolutely, I know what you're talking about and I feel for you and I get it. That's a huge thing. So that's part of what we hope to do as well. We promote research as well. Like we're, as I said, we're hoping to help those that have knowledge in the medical community, get what they need as well to reach those populations, to get funding, to do whatever they can. So a big part of our goal is to fundraise as well, so that we can help patients, that we can produce information for people, that we can keep having our website. And so we do take donations. As I said, we are a nonprofit organization, so we are able to take donations. So when patients and families and just community service groups, if anybody, the school where I happen to work did a dress down day and they donated that money to our group. And so that was fantastic. That was a much needed money in a world where everybody is fundraising. It's been critical that we, and so we are going to have to step up our fundraising efforts in the years to come. But we also have a scientific advisory board. They represent doctors and healthcare professionals that give us guidance. They help produce the brochures and publications that we have so that we know we're giving real, accurate, up-to-date information to people. Mm-hmm. And then we have a patient advisory board too, and that's meant to be literally that, patients advising and trying to help each other so that we really are meeting the needs of the people, because we might think we know what people want, but ultimately, you know, you kind of need somebody helping you to determine what that is and what our goals should be. So yeah. So that's who we are. And as I said, I'm on the board of directors, but one of my key goals is I'm in charge of education and events. And so I help do things like in the past, we have had a patient conference in Winnipeg with the help of Dr. Greenberg and her team. We were able to do that in 2016. So we got a lot of the families together from across Canada. And it was a Canadian event. We do, we have a website, as I've mentioned a few times. We also do webinars, which are kind of a live streaming of a conversation. Dr. Greenberg did our first one. So she was giving information about hypophosphatasia.
What kind of things does Soft Bones Canada do to help patients?
The fact that we exist as a source of information for Canadian patients is our most important job. And we've set up the organization and are registered, as I mentioned before, as a nonprofit. We created a website, so that's full of information about hypophosphatasia itself. Then there's information on the website about our organization. And so any new upcoming patient events, that's posted on our website, and ways to connect with other patients and medical professionals is there as well. We're working this year. One of our initiatives is to try to improve our medical and care registry so that if someone were to say, I'm from Saskatchewan and my child was just diagnosed or I was just diagnosed, where can I go in this province for information? we'd like to get a registry of doctors that know about the disease. So that's one of the initiatives that we're working toward. So we also had a medical conference in Winnipeg that was, as I mentioned, national. So we had people from all over the country. We helped fund transportation for people as well. So from every province, we had people represented, and we had medical professionals there, guest speakers. We also had a panel of patient experts who spoke about the disease and, again, really tried to make connections with those families. Mm-hmm. We've had webinars. We've produced videos and been part of videos that have been online and streamed in various ways to raise awareness. One was a dental video, or a series of dental videos that we took part in. And we have a yearly newsletter that we send out, and also a monthly email that if you register as a patient, then we send out information to you on a fairly regular basis about what we're doing. And again, as I said, events and any kind of new news about the disease. Mm-hmm. We send that out. So yeah, we also are on social media. So we have Facebook, we have Twitter. So if any of your listeners happen to be pretty savvy in terms of technology, we have those ways for people to communicate. So we're trying to meet everybody where they are, whether mm-hmm. that's just print, whether they're on social media, whether they like to use the internet, or they can call. We also have a telephone number for mm-hmm. people to reach us who, you know, are most comfortable connecting over the phone.
So what do you do when a new patient or family contacts you?
So we provide them with information about hypophosphatasia, about the disease itself, and then obviously about Soft Bones Canada. We also send information packages in the mail, and that includes our contact information as well as the publications with information about hypophosphatasia. So that's usually our first step, is to make that connection with a patient and then help give them information. And then from there, kind of depends on what province they're in and what they need.
Mm-hmm. Are there other HPP patients groups?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, as much as Canada had a patient group, Soft Bones in the United States was already an entity too before we were. So we were able to work with our neighbors to the south, and using some of the information and some of the things that they'd learned about setting up an organization, we started ours. And so that's where the name Soft Bones, and we added Canada, came mm-hmm. from. So okay. The United States absolutely has a group, and but there is also a group in Germany, there's a group in France, and there's one in Japan as well. And so those are the ones that we're most familiar with. But yeah, throughout the world, mm-hmm. There are different groups that people can access.
So this was very interesting to hear about the Soft Bones, and you probably would have a lot more to say. But for now, would you like to give our listeners a last word and maybe give a number that they could call if they have questions about it?
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and speak with you and with your listeners, because it's I'm hoping that we're going to reach some of the families, because I really believe that within this small community in southwestern Ontario, but beyond, that there are people that will be listening who this may resonate with, that they mm-hmm. may realize, wait a minute, that sounds a lot like me. And yes. Hopefully they will reach out, and we encourage them to. That's why we exist. So don't ever hesitate, you know, to get in touch. If we're not the right people, if it turns out you don't have it, well, then maybe we can direct you in another direction. But mm-hmm. at least you will have explored one more option. So yeah, anyone who even thinks this is something that might be the case, mention it to your doctor. HPP is the short form. But if you're curious, absolutely get in touch with us. And again, it's Soft Bones Canada. You can call our number. It is 204-202-322 is the phone number. And if you're comfortable on the internet, we can be reached at www.softbonescanada.ca.
Would you say the telephone number again?
Absolutely. 204-202-3211. And that will take you to our sort of general number. And you may have to leave a message, and then we will make sure that someone gets right back to you and gives you a call. And like I said, we can set up a way to get you some information.
Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. It was so nice to have you here, and we'll probably see you again.
I hope so. Thank you.